You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Living a Supernatural Life.
Ephesians, the third chapter, and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That verse from three other translations, Ephesians 3:20, the Amplified Version says, now to him who by, in consequence of, the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly. Everybody say superabundantly. I like that word. Superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. The Amplified said, I dare you to ask God for it. I dare you to ask God for it. And watch what happens. New Living Translation says, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. And then the Message Translation, also known as the Peterson paraphrase, says God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. So 2 weeks ago, I started this series, and I want to continue today, on living a supernatural life. To be quite honest, as I started meditating and praying and believing God to continue to move this ministry forward and fulfill the visions and the aspects of it that God has placed in my heart and placed in my mind and placed in my spirit, that's on our master plan, including building a multi-thousand seat sanctuary, the Lord was reminding me of how we started. And he often takes me back there and he says, now when you came to Columbia, South Carolina, you knew no one. As far as you knew, you didn't know anyone. When I got here, I found out that three people I didn't know were here. Three people out of the whole state of South Carolina. And it just so happened that the three people who I knew were in this city, one of them was within a mile of my home. And those three people ended up being our first helpers and members of this ministry. Then the Lord reminded me that I had no money. But now we have multi-millions of property and resources that started with no money because I trusted him to do the supernatural. And when I went to go buy buildings, I didn't have money, but I had faith. I didn't have money, but I trusted that if this is the will of God, money got to show up. That I didn't put my money before God. I put God before my money. And I came to realize that if God says it, everything else got to follow behind his word. God's word is supernatural all by itself. The Bible says, basically tells us, that so shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall accomplish in the thing that I sent it to do. In other words, there is no word of God without power. The truth of the matter is, because we're created in the image of God, Jesus tried to tell us there's no word that we speak that doesn't have power. He said, so be careful what you say. He said, because for you even will have, there will be a reckoning. You will have to give an account for every idle word. Idle means a word that you spoke that you thought meant nothing. But words either add to your life or words subtract from your life. You have to give an account. That's a financial word, an account. There's going to be a debiting or there's going to be a crediting based upon words you speak. No word without God is power. So when we read the word, when we speak the word, when we believe the word and apply his word in our life, supernatural things got to happen. Because we serve a supernatural God. And so God is reminding us that he can, will, and is able and wants to do far above, superabundantly, anything we can ask, anything we can think. He wants the supernatural to become regular in our lives. He wants the supernatural to become natural for the believers. When we talk about supernatural, we mean above and beyond the natural. We're talking about action that can only be explained by the power of God. Like Nicodemus said to Jesus, no man can do with these things except God be with him. He recognized you're different than just other religious folk. There's something supernatural that's happening in your life. I don't just want to be religious. I want to experience the supernatural. Come on now. I don't just want to go to church. I want to live a supernatural life. I don't just want to have a prayer life. I want to have supernatural results from my prayer. Are y'all hearing me here? I came out of a family that went to church, but we weren't experiencing the supernatural because we just went to church. Nothing's going to happen just because you go to church, other than the fact that you can hear that God's a supernatural God, but now you're going to have to put your faith in gear and receive the supernatural. We should regularly, consistently see the hand of God moving and maneuvering and handling things and touching things and fixing things and turning things and healing things in our lives because we serve a supernatural God. God wants us to expect and believe him for the supernatural. And we said that the question is never about God's ability to perform the supernatural. The question is about our ability to believe him for the supernatural. And so that's why in Mark 9, when the boy who had been possessed by an evil spirit, and some just call it, say that he had epilepsy, and the boy would cast himself into the fire and then cast himself into the water, and he would have these fits of rage and he would have these seizures, and he came to Jesus' disciples and they could do nothing. So he finally makes his way to Jesus, violates protocol and said, I tried to go through the right channels, but they're not giving me any result. And they come to Jesus in Mark 9 and verse 22. He said, Lord, if thou canst do anything, have compassion and help us. And Jesus' response in Mark 9, 23, Jesus said, hey, it's not about me. Don't put this on me. The issue is, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So Jesus is still saying, God's still saying, it's not about whether I can do the supernatural. It's will you still believe me for the supernatural? Do y'all believe that Africa has a different God than we do? Come on now. Do y'all believe that the third world has a different God than we do? No. So sometimes the question is, well, when we hear about these miracles, we see hear more miracles about people in Africa and even India and some of these third world countries that are not as developed as us and don't have the sophistication we do and don't necessarily have the economic status that we do and don't necessarily have the education level that we do, that they seem to have more demonstrations, participations, and results of the supernatural than us. Why is that? Why is that we hear about more people being raised from the dead in some of these remote places? Why is it that we see more miraculous healings and legs growing and tumors falling off in the middle of services? Why is it that we hear about more about blinded eyes being opened and cataracts literally falling off of people's eyes? Is it because God is more God there, or because maybe they're a little closer to heaven than us? No! The issue is they have less resources to depend on other than God. Okay, come on, let's put this in perspective. How many financial miracles could God perform for you if you didn't have a credit card? Oh, come on now, because I've been there. How many more debts could be canceled in your life if you didn't think you could make the payment? Oh, y'all quiet on me here now. How many more miracles of healing would manifest in your children and in your life if you had no insurance, no Medicare, and no Medicaid? And you had no disability insurance? See, the thing is, we use all these resources as our source. And God said, many of the things that you're looking to man to do, I want to do in your life, but you go to man rather than go to me. Do you realize, God said, do you realize I can get you $200 by tomorrow without you hocking your car to the title loan place? Do you realize that I can get your children? Now, I want y'all to understand, everybody got to live according to your faith. I had to live based upon mine. I knew where I was going. And so when they told me that we qualified for WIC, what is WIC? Women, infants, and children. I said, they ain't even concerned about the father. They don't call WIC for women, infants, children, and fathers. They don't call WIC them. Women's infant children and men, these are concerned about the women and infants and children. And we qualified. I said, no, we're not. Pastor Mark said, we can get eggs and milk. I said, my God can't provide me eggs and milk. How am I going to build a church that's going to require millions if I can't believe God's going to give me eggs and milk? Are y'all hearing me? And so I started believing God for the supernatural with little things. I ain't asking y'all to step out the boat and walk on the water if you're too scared to even get in a boat. Just believe God first. You're going to have to overcome the fear to be able to get in a boat. But you start believing God for the supernatural in the little things. I'm going to help y'all practice on yourself. Next time you get a headache, stop saying, where the Tylenol? Where the Advil? Lay hands on yourself. Come on now. Anybody ever done it? Somebody said, yes, Pastor. Then I went and got the Tylenol. I rebuke this headache in the name of Jesus. Watch this. He was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquity. By his stripes, this headache is healed in Jesus' name. How about this? How about instead of getting a pill for the tension headache, you get rid of the tension? How about you learn to cast all your care on him and stop running around with all this pressure on yourself? Everybody is not just in your bloodline about high blood pressure. Okay, so it's in your bloodline of worry. You got to take a thought over worry and fear and anxiety. Come on now. Some of y'all come from long lines of worriers. When you hear about something, they immediately go to the end. He's sick. Oh, Lord, I hope he don't die. Who said anything about death? We just said, for all you know, it's a cough. You got to take a thought over thoughts and position yourself to receive the supernatural. So our faith activates God's ability to do the supernatural in our lives. We saw in Matthew 13, Jesus could do no mighty works in his own hometown among his own people because of their unbelief. And so he could do no mighty works, not no mighty works. He could do no mighty works there. Everybody say there. Here's the question. Can God do mighty works at your house? Can God do some mighty works in your family? It's not that he could not do it. The operative word is there. He could not do it there because when he went somewhere else, he was able to do it. He just couldn't do it there because they were not expecting the supernatural. It's something about expectation that sets you up for your miracle. So our faith operates and activates God's ability to do the supernatural in our lives. God's ability to perform the supernatural in our lives is only limited by our ability to believe him to perform the supernatural in our lives. David believed God to perform the supernatural in his life. Look at Psalm 57 and verse 2. I love this scripture. David said, I called this one, I called that one. I got men of Issachar around me, people who know what to do supposedly. And I had wives and I had women and I've had this and that. But I discovered something. There's some things only God can do. So David says, I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. I'm going to call the God who performeth all things for me. Say that. Say, God can perform all things for me. Now, you can't just stop it. God can perform all things. Because now we're back into he's a supernatural God, but you don't see the supernatural. You got to believe he will not only perform all things, he performs all things for me. Everybody say, little old me. Because see, you call yourself little old you, but you're not little old you in God's eyes. You're the apple of his eye. You're one of his children. He's not a deadbeat dad, glory to God. If he don't take care of anybody else, he's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of you because you are his child. God will perform all things for me. My daughter-in-law said, my grandson Righteous this week, the man said something about how much something costs. He said, that's all right. My daddy got $1 billion. Yes, sir. That's a boy who believed my daddy can get me anything. Oh, y'all hearing me? Come on, you look at somebody and say, my daddy can do it for me. Tell him, my daddy got $1 billion. Y'all ain't hearing me here. They said Bill Gates has pledged the largest philanthropic charitable donation that to people's knowledge has ever been given. Okay? It really probably doesn't measure into what David had prepared. But in today's economy, he pledged $4.3 billion to charity. And they said Bill Gates is giving $4.3 billion and he's still the richest man in the world. And God can do exceeding abundant. Oh, come on. I got to challenge you. Is your God bigger than Bill Gates? Oh, somebody over here didn't believe that. They just looked at me. Let me try. Is your God bigger than Bill Gates? And so when we hear about these things, these magnificent givings and these magnificent things that man's doing, you ought to say that's the floor for what God can do. See, that's why I refuse to be middle class. Because when I read the word, the Bible didn't say nothing, I'm supposed to be middle class. Even though that's where I was striving one time. Because I found out the words, I'm supposed to be above and not beneath. Glory to God. I'm supposed to be the head and not the tail. I'm supposed to be the first class. And then I found that I can live a first class life at second class price. Glory to God. That I can be riding and now instead of looking at the commercial, I'm the one saying, please pass the gray poupon. Look at somebody and say, God can do it for me. So Paul encourages the Ephesians to believe God, that God's a supernatural God. Paul says in Ephesians 1st chapter and verse 19, he said, I want to know God and I want you to know God. And I want you to know him intimately. And I want you to know God in all his dimensions and all his aspects. And then he says in Ephesians 1:19, and I want you to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the mighty working of his power. I want you to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power. I know you heard about Bill Gates, but I want you to know what the exceeding greatness of his power is. I know you heard about the U.S. Army, but I want you to hear about the exceeding greatness of his power. I know some of y'all are scared of the missiles from North Korea, but I want you to know the exceeding greatness of his power. And his power to usward who what? Believe. So even though he has exceeding great power, the power only comes to usward. The power is only demonstrated on our behalf if we what? If we believe. So our faith is what it takes to activate the supernatural. Romans 11:23, Paul is doing this exhortation. And Romans is actually written, y'all, to the Jewish Christians at Rome. And so, some of them are concerned about their mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters who have not embraced Jesus Christ. Just like the Jews as a whole in today's society have not. They still believe the Messiah is going to come. There's a small percentage of them who've come to be known as Messianic Jews who have received Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And so, they were concerned, well, if they don't believe, what's going to happen to them? And so Paul says this, Romans 11:23, and they also if they referring to these non-Jesus believing Jews and Israelites, if they, watch this, if they abide not still in unbelief, they'll be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. He says, the promises of God will not forever be forfeited for them if they choose not to abide. Just keep, hold it up there for a moment. If they choose not to abide in unbelief. You have a choice whether you're going to stay in unbelief or whether you're going to believe and receive all the promises of God. I don't know about you. I want all the promises of God. Amen. I said, I want all the promises of God. Years ago, I was watching Benny Hinn program on television and miracles were breaking forth and all that. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how come you wouldn't do that in my services? The Lord said, because you're not giving me an opportunity to do it. See, certain things, you got to give God an opportunity to do it by not being in such a rush. See, come on now. When I first went to, I can't remember one of the countries when we went to Africa. It was either the first time we went to Nigeria. I've been to Africa three times. I went to Ghana, and then we've been to South Africa. But I believe the first time we would see, you ride and you see houses that were half done. You see churches that they've been building. And so from our standpoint, it looks like somebody ran out of money. Because, see, the way we do everything here in the United States, you get pre-approved for a loan. Come on now. And then the bank says you got so much money, and then we get a contract and we build. But when that's not part of their economic infrastructure, and it's becoming more and more now, they just get bricks and days. Y'all ain't hear me here. If I get enough bricks, and I get enough days, I'm going to build this house. What would happen if we were not in such a rush and we really would learn to wait on God? Imagine all the debt-free stuff we could have. Imagine stuff that we could say, God did this. This is where I was going. I'm not going. But we're in such a rush. And we're in such a rush that God does not have the opportunity to get the glory. Are y'all listening to me? Look at Isaiah. God says, I need my people to believe me for the supernatural. Don't be in such a rush. Now, here we go. A lot of times we're in such a rush because, come on, let's be honest, y'all. It can be inconvenient to wait on God. I'm tired of this. I need this car now. Okay? And I ain't talking about because you don't have one. Because you just tired of your town car. And those you don't know what a town car is, y'all new to this church. A town car is not made by Ford or Lincoln. A town car is any car that you dare not take out of town. Any y'all ever drove a town car? Some of y'all would have came to New Jersey, but you just got a town car. Your car ain't made for I-95. It's barely made for 20 or 26. This is a town car. I don't go nowhere but around town. Isaiah 30. God says to his people, woe. Woe is always a warning. He says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me. You listen to what everybody else tell you to do except what I tell you to do. Remember what Psalm 1 says, blessed man walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You take counsel but not of me. Girl, if I was you, I'd just run on down there and such and such. Girl, if I was you, I would do such and such. Man, if I was you, this is how I would do that. Beat her. You remember Color Purple? He said, beat her. Then he walked in the counsel of the ungodly. Then he came back and got kicked by a mule. They take counsel, but not a... And they cover with a covering. That's talking about protection. We look for everything and everybody else to protect us but God. But not of my spirit. That they may add sin to sin. You obeyed me, you disobeyed me here. Now you listen to the counsel. You disobeyed me here. And you're adding sin to sin. Verse 2. That walk to go down into Egypt. And Egypt, of course, then was a literal place. But Egypt refers to the world's way of doing things. I said, woe to you who always look to the world's way of doing things rather than trusting that I'm a supernatural God.
Are you living your best life? You can live above the natural and expect the supernatural. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains that God can do extraordinary things in your life and cause you to live supernaturally. Order this powerful message today on CD or DVD. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order Living a Supernatural Life.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.